My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Here we are again, we being the usual teams, except for Frank. So meet John Amis and Peter Jones. Versus Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Right, gentlemen, to the questions. Ballads, drawing room ballads, call for superb singing, as we know from many that Ian's given us over the period of this show. No one should be too grand, I think, to sing a much-loved song or to enjoy hearing one. John, the song cycle, the singer, can you name them? Cycle singer.
It's Ben Luxon.
Yes, Benjamin Luxon.
Well-known Cornish figure. I was once on a cruise with him, and he's got such a well-produced speaking voice, let alone singing voice, that sometimes when he was down in the hold and I was up in the rigging, I could hear him perfectly playing. I mean, I exaggerate a little bit.
Yes, a little.
But he really has got an incredibly beefy voice.
Yes, he has.
My mother used to sing it, actually. I remember quite well.
Yes.
And I never knew what the Shalimar was. I thought it perhaps was a boat. And I visualized this person sitting next to someone with pale hands on the dock side. I don't know. What is the Shalimar? It's a river, is it?
It's a river, I think. Yes. Do you know the song cycle, the name of the song cycle?
Before Indian Lovely.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
By
Kashmiri
Amy
song.
Woodford Findon.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. Peter, the singer in this next song is Stuart Burrows, the composer Balfe. Who, though, was the poet?
Queen of the Rosebud Garden of Girls, come hither, the dances are done. In gloss of satin and glimmer of pearls, Queen Lily and Rose in one, shine out little heads sunning over with curls to the flowers and bees.
Their song. Poets. Recognize the title.
I didn't
hear that.
He didn't say the title, did he?
No, I didn't do. I didn't do. We didn't do the title. No.
Oh, I see.
It's a plea to Maud. I can tell you that. Much.
Maud.
Yes.
Ah, that's a good clue. Come into the garden, Maud.
Yes, thank you.
Which must be Alfred Lord Tennyson, who wrote
yes.
that.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Absolutely. Yes. Alfred. It was Tennyson, indeed. Come into the
yes.
garden, Maud. Yes.
Oh. That's
Ian, who wrote this song, and on the record, who's singing it?
I felt so lonely standing there, and I could only stand and stare, for I had no maid with me. Lonely I should have to be in that quaint old Cornish town.
Well, the song is The Floral Dance by Katie Moss.
That's right, words and music, but founded on an old
singer,
Cornish air.
It's interesting that, because he is singing it, I would say, in a lower key than...
First name he shared with a number of singers with deep voices, Norman...
Oh, Bailey.
Norman Bailey.
Oh.
Norman Bailey
yes.
it was. Over to Dennis. Dennis, Robert Tears' voice, whose lines?
In the woodland, by the old tree's mossy root, the shining grass blades timber shaded, how do quiver.
Whose lines?
I got oak tree and mossy root. It's some bucolic poet.
But yes, it's on Lyndon Lee, originally written in Dorset dialect.
Ah, yes, which
do you
I know,
to know,
yes.
Ian?
That's what's his name? Barnes.
That's it, you got him, William Barnes.
But he's impenetrable.
Yes.
I mean, I know, because yes. I know who wrote, simply from the title, but I've never been able to plough through that.
Dorset's entirely.
Well,
with all apologies to the good people of Dorset.
Some of Tennyson's poems are unreadable in Lincolnshire accent as well, but that's another matter. All these songs come from the same LP, though, with different singers. Just before we leave it, let's get Ian, just for a sort of nothing mark, to identify a song and a singer from just two words, Ian.
My goodness, I don't have the last note on as long as that. Yes, the song is On the Road to Mandalay by Ole Speaks, and I suspect that that is a highly respected colleague of the name of Forbes Robertson.
Forbes Robertson, that's right, yes. Out of China Cross the Bay, that's right. Choruses of popular songs are instantly recognisable, less so perhaps verses, even less second lines of verses. Impossible, you may say. Not at all. Let's find out. John, turning to my piano, the second line of a familiar verse. Any idea what the song is? For a full mark.
It's what you might call an art song rather than a pop song, isn't it?
It's a popular song, really.
Oh, is it? Well, then I don't know.
Well, for half a mark, shall I play you the start of the chorus?
All right.
Right, here we go. Now, you know it.
I always think they write those beginnings, you know, by a computer. Don't you think so?
You don't know it, do you?
Oh, something, something, Vienna Mine.
Yeah, do you know the title, Peter? Can you help him? It's your side.
Vienna Mine.
Mel, yes, we got that far. Vienna, City of My Dreams.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you know. I think we'd like them to have half a mark for that, don't you?
Oh, really? That's a quarter each.
Peter, you're not averse, I know, to a touch of jazz. What is this, the second line of?
Not Basin Street.
That's it.
Is it?
That's it. Yes, you got it.
Basin Street Blues.
Yeah, Basin Street Blues. Yes. That's right. Correct. Spencer Williams.
That's Basin Street Blues.
Right. Ian, your turn. Again, the second line of the verse.
Oh, dear, terribly familiar. It's, Can I go into the chorus?
Yes.
The White Dove.
The White Dove, yes, by Franz Lehár. Franz Lehár, yes. You've got the half mark, too. Dennis, the verse, line two of what?
My heart beat the faster. You are the promise.
And the title.
All the things you are.
It's got a full mark, yes, that's right. Just one for the audience to try. Second line of the verse. Yes, thank you. As one man and woman, Sonny Boy. Yes, Sonny Boy. John, musing as I was in the cloisters of Westminster Abbey, I noticed a memorial to somebody. It said, quite simply, he brought Haydn to London. I thought it was a nice, quiet form of immortality. For whom?
He was a man called Salomon.
Salomon.
Who had an orchestra, was a violinist, and he did do just that. He went and sought Haydn out. Haydn, I think, had never been outside Vienna or Germany. And he got him to come over, and he wrote a dozen of his best symphonies for London.
That's right. He got Haydn, and you've got a cold, haven't you? I can tell it's in your voice.
Yes, I have. It'll be fun or horror when I get to the singing.
Yes.
If I get that far.
Peter Jones, a line from a song, I quote, he tore its chords asunder. Who did?
Is it classical?
Is no, it? Folk, really.
Folk.
Can I give you a tiny clue?
Well. Yes.
Just a Deansy
clue. Oh, yes. Fortunately, this ear is working well. the minstrel boy.
Thank you very much, yes, the minstrel boy. The harp he loved ne'er spoke again, for he tore its chords asunder. That was rather than let it sound in slavery, you see.
Very yes.
the excellent thought.
Well, thanks very much. It's sort of educational as well.
Live and learn, that's right, yes. Ian, who wrote of whom, they trained him to make Europe yawn, and he took advantage of their teaching to make London and New York laugh and whistle?
Sounded like somebody who had invented an unsuccessful sleeping pill. But presumably it,
yes.
Presumably it has a musical connotation.
It does indeed, yes.
London and New York.
Yes.
Whistle and laugh.
Yes. And
could that be a reference to Gilbert and Sullivan?
Yes, it was to Sullivan.
Sullivan.
Yes, it was. Do you know who it was talking about him?
No.
It just initials, GBS. It was
Oh, Bernard Shaw.
Bernard Shaw talking about Sullivan. They trained him to make Europe yawn. He took advantage of their teaching to make London and New York laugh and whistle.
I suppose that's a typically dismissive remark about a conventional musical education from Shaw.
George Bernard Shaw in an 1890 article. Dennis, instead of asking you a question, let me for once ask you, what is my question to which your answer could be the population hereabouts?
The population hereabouts.
Yes.
The question could be, in the song, "You Came a Long Way
That's
from
right.
St. Louis,"
yes.
What are the words following, "You certainly impressed"?
Yes.
The population hereabouts.
That's right.
Hereabouts.
It comes, yeah. "You Came a Long Way from St. Louis." And so to the silver screen. Nowhere like the darkness of the stalls for having a good cry in the one and tenpennies.
Oh, I've never cried so much in all my life. I'm still crying. I can't forget it.
Gracie Fields, enjoying what would nowadays be classified as a 10-handkerchief movie. How about a 10-handkerchief opera or film with an appropriately sentimental theme? What would you nominate as a number one tearjerker, John?
Well, I was thinking the other day, when they were showing several Katharine Hepburn films, that she is the number one tearjerker for me. Mm. Even when she's sitting with her back to the camera, if she wants me to cry, I cry.
Well said.
I think
well.
She's just amazing.
Absolute
I
greatness.
I love every yes. eyebrow.
Peter, do you go to the movies? Are you a film
Oh, yes, I do,
you?
Yes.
You appear in them.
I don't often cry. Death of Little Nell. Was that, that they made in a film of that, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
How about Little Women? Did that have you grovelling on the floor in tears? Most people.
I haven't seen Little Women.
Oh, you haven't.
I expect it'll be on television fairly soon. I'll be able to see it.
Can I commend to you Barbara Stanwyck pressing her nose to the window pane in the rain while her daughter is getting married inside and doesn't want to see her mummy in Stella Dallas?
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Stella Dallas, yes. I remember
that. Make a note of that.
Yes. Is that on release?
Not anymore, I think.
No.
Ian, a movie, a film made you weep?
Well,
or an opera, if you like.
From an operatic point of view, in the days when I was lucky enough to sing in Puccini's La Bohème for a great many performances, there was a moment which most nights, even after doing it time and time again, would make me cry, and it was in the last act when Mimi has died right at the very end. And there's a bit earlier on when she's lying in the bed talking to Rodolfo, and she says, "So many things there are that I would tell you." Because, of course, they've been separated for a very long time. Yeah. And when she dies, that music is reprised in the orchestra, and you hear this in a minor key, like very heavily scored. There's so many things that there are that I would tell you. And you know at that moment she's never going to tell him those things.
Yes. Great.
And I was an absolute sucker for that night after night.
Yes, that's right. Dennis, yours would be a film, I guess, wouldn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yes. It would be a whole selection of films. Stella Dallas, of course. It actually is strange because Mother Love was all, and that would always get me. I wonder how many people remember a film called Madam X. Oh, yes. Now, there were two versions within my lifetime, one with Gladys George and one with Lana Turner. And, I mean, You talk about the mead. I mean, how irresistible can you get when you see she does a murder and her own son defends her, not knowing that it's his mother, because she wanted him to grow up fine and clean and decent, and she never let him know. And she has a line where she says, "Do not let him know. Do not let my son know that I am his mother." And there's a moment when she's dying in the cell. He gets her off, and she says, "Just let me hold you and stroke your face as though you were my son." Oh, I wore out the monogram on my handkerchief.
Don't think any of us will ever be the same again. Here we are.
That's not counting Brief Encounter.
That's right. Right. Lots of tunes begin. Some go further. And some even go. Let's check on a few of them. John, what's this? Cetera. What is it?
It's Ebony Concerto.
By?
Uncle Igor. Stravinsky.
Yes, Igor. Written for?
Written for, what's his name? Oh, yes. Gosh.
I could tell you, we've got the mark. Woody Herman. Good. Peter, those starting notes, same starting notes, I'll put them in the same key as the Stravinsky. You know what that comes from?
It does sound familiar. Yes. Oh, dear. Because I am tone deaf. I wish you'd explain that to everybody.
John may assist a little, perhaps. I don't
well, know. The Nutcracker. No.
Ah, yes, you got it. Ah. You're toying with me, Peter.
No, no. I'm,
yes, you are.
It's
you're
coming. It may not be here in time for the news. But the reeds.
Ah, yes.
The reeds.
My goodness.
Set it?
Shall I hang about a bit longer? Yes.
Well, I...
Dance of the Reed Pipes.
The Reed... Ah, the dance.
Yes.
Yes, that's it. The dance. Yes, that's it.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Got it.
Oh, no. Please.
Got it first time. Dance of the Reed Pipes from Nutcracker by Tchaikovsky. Ian, move the notes up a couple of degrees, though the key remains the same. Who wrote this song?
One Hubert Gregg.
That's right.
Maybe it's because I'm alone.
I love this. Who also wrote a song about getting illuminated. Do you know that song?
We're going to get lit up when the lights go on in London. That's my period, you see.
That's right. Hubert wrote it, you know, while incarcerated, which I think is the word, in the old barracks Lincoln, Burton Road, Lincoln.
Really?
It's about the best thing that ever came out of that particular barrack block. Hubert Gregg's Maybe It's Because I'm a Londoner. No, this second one.
And his wife sang it, if I remember right.
Yes,
Zoe Gale.
Right. Yes, indeed, she did. That's right.
Yes.
Dennis, same starting notes. I put it into Stravinsky's key, but it's not one of Stravinsky's tunes.
No, we don't have half enough Hawaiian songs on this. On the beach at Waikiki, yes.
On the beach at Waikiki, yes. Song lines. John, can you think of a song that mentions asbestos?
Oh, yes. But heaven rest us, we're not asbestos.
I won't dance, that's right.
Don't make me.
Peter, I'm not quite sure about the grammar of this line. If the boy were I. Do you know what that comes from? If the boy were I.
Isn't it dreadful? I've been in so many situations when total ignorance has been an advantage to me. But it's not helping me tonight.
Would you?
One. Give them a mark. Go on, give them a mark. Ian, can you place a monotonal stately clock?
Oh, yes.
Stately clock.
Yes, it's not... It's not my grandfather's clock, no.
No, it's not. It wouldn't be monotonal.
The tick, tick, tick of the stately clock as it stands against the wall.
That's right.
Night and day!
You are the one.
Right. Vous êtes là.
Dennis, a song reference to a book of 70 pages. It was contagious. 70 pages. It's a lovely song. I don't know if anybody here in the audience knows it. Jimmy Durante's song called The Day I Read a Book. It was contagious. The day I read a book, I can't remember when, but one of these days I'm going to do it again. 70 pages in the book. And so to the party pieces. Peter honestly doesn't regard himself as a singer and has asked if you, the audience, will kindly sing his song for him. Though I think he might remind you of the words from time to time. All together now. For me and my gal. Everybody's been knowing.
To the wedding they're going, and for weeks they've been snowing. Every Susie and Sam, they're already
waiting
for me
and my girl. Parsons
waiting for me and my girl.
And sometime I'm going to build a little home. Oh, well, why not?
No question of dividing them up and having half start and the other half finish with the top shelf and all that.
I love the way the audience applauds themselves, don't you?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
yes,
love it.
It was well deserved, I thought.
Are you available for cup finals at all?
A song that mentions a pelvic girdle. John's choice. John, word of explanation, I think. You will.
It's from the Cole Porter Nymph Errant. It's really a girl song, but I started to change the pronouns round and I decided not to. So just imagine I'm Gertrude Lawrence with a cold.
He said my bronchial tubes were entrancing. My epiglottis filled him with glee. He simply loved my larynx and went wild about my pharynx, but he never said he loved me. He said my epidermis was darling and found my blood as blue as could be. He went through wild ecstatics when I showed him my emphatics, but he never said he loved me. And though no doubt it was not very smart of me, I kept on racking my soul to figure out why he loved every part of me and yet not me as a whole. With my esophagus he was ravished. He found my sternum stunning to see. He did a double hurdle when I shook my pelvic girdle, but he never said he loved me.
William Byrd, the great madrigalist, wrote, "Singing doth strengthen all parts of the breast and doth open the pipes." Dennis will now strengthen his breast and open his pipes with a song by Noel Coward.
We must all be very kind to Auntie Jessie, for she's never been a mother or a wife. You mustn't throw your toys at her or make a vulgar noise at her. She hasn't led a very happy life. You must never lock her playfully in the bathroom or play tunes on her enameled Spanish comb. Though unpleasant to behold, she's a heart of purest gold, and charity, we know, begins at home.
From 1938, that song, but long before that, in 1893 to be precise, this song was all the rage. Ian, for you.
An old man gazed on a photograph in the locket he wore for years. His nephew then asked him the reason why that picture had caused him tears. Come listen, he said, I will tell you, lad, a story that's strange but true. Your father and I at the school one day met two little girls in blue. Two little girls in blue, lad. Two little girls in blue. They were sisters, we were brothers, and learned to love the two. And one little girl in blue, lad, won your father's heart, became your mother. I married the other, but now we have drifted apart altogether now.
Wasn't that a sad song, Mary? What's the score? Well, I'm happy to tell you it's a victory by a small margin this week for John Amos and Peter Jones. Bye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Peter Jones, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race, the questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the programme was produced by Pete Atkin.